What I'm going to do for Advent is I put together a little series on John the Baptist. During Advent, we often get little clips of him, but I wanted to put together something a little bit more holistically in terms of his message, but more importantly, how it relates to us as we get ready for Christmas. Okay? Now, I know we don't have a message next week as such, but don't worry, because I'm going to work it in as we go along in our Wednesdays, so we continue to get the whole thing that we have there. And so today, let's get there, I call today One Strange Christmas. And I'm not that good at drawing, but I drew a little balloon up there. See that? I put the important words of John the Baptist: prepare the way of the Lord, repent. Is that what you would normally think about as you get ready for Christmas? See, that's the point of today. That's why it's strange, different. From Mark chapter 1, a voice of one calls in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain will be made low, the rough ground will become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it's written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John came baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Now, here comes my first little thing. A couple years ago, all throughout the South, these billboards were put up. I was told that they were even put up as far north as Milwaukee. Now, I'm not sure. I never saw one of these. Have you seen one of these? Okay. Well, anyway, the clip that I read on the news said that, and I thought I would just ask you. Now I know. Well, let's put it this way. Just because you haven't seen it doesn't mean they weren't up. I mean, there are times you probably drive by the church and never read the sign out front, I would imagine, too. But just like me, we miss some of that. But this billboard was up. The atheist put it up. The American Atheist Society. Dear Santa, all I want for Christmas is to skip church. I'm too old for fairy tales. Could you imagine that across the Bible Belt? But they put these up. David Silverman, who's the president of the American Atheist Society, is quoted as saying, all children know churches spew absurdity, which is why they don't want to attend church. So in my opinion, Americans should just enjoy the time with your family and friends instead. Skip church. He goes on to say, today's adults have no obligation to pretend to believe the lies of their parents. It's okay to admit that your parents were wrong about religion, and it's definitely okay to tell your children the truth about it. This is what he says and what he wrote. One billboard they put up, I guess, had a rotating, sliding, neon kind of a light to it, and it put out these words, nobody needs Christ during Christmas. And they would switch the nobody with the word, or it would say, I'm sorry, it said, who needs Christ during Christmas? And it would switch out the who with the nobody. It was kind of subliminal to get people going by that, you know, you don't need Jesus for Christmas. You would think people wouldn't be quite so crass. I mean, right out in the open. At first, when I read the article, I thought to myself, man, that's just out there. But then I thought, well, maybe I need to take a good look at myself. You know, do I need Christ in my Christmas? Do I? And then I thought, well, there's the sermon. Do you as you get ready for Christmas. Need Christ in there. And if you do, what does it really mean? I mean, we talk a lot about Jesus is the reason for the season, but then I look at people and I think, do you understand what you're saying? You know what that really means? So I remember when I was up in the UP, the elementary school there every year held a Christmas program, and they were getting, you know, bottom kickback, you know, a religious celebration for Christmas. So one year, the last year I was there, they decided, or it was the second to last year I was there, they decided to change it to a holiday celebration. And I went just to see what that means, a holiday celebration. Everywhere that you would normally see the word Christ, they replaced it with nature. And I caught that right away. The traditional religious Christmas program had just been replaced by another religion, and nobody knew it, except for, I think, me. In fact, I nudged the guy next to me. I said, did you know that this is spiritism or animism? And the guy looked at me and said, what? You didn't know what that was. So I wrote the school board a little letter about that. You know, you took Christ out of Christmas and put nature in there and swapped one religion out for another. I get a phone call from the guy. He said, thank you for the letter, but don't you think you're a little biased as a Lutheran pastor? And I said, well, obviously, but if we're not going, but obviously, if we're not going to have religion in our celebration of Christmas time, then we got to take it all the way out. Let's not have any celebration at all. And he said, well, we could never do that. We would hear from our parents. Well, of course you would. But what is it that they really want? I don't think it's what you're giving it to them. Then we clicked, got off the phone, and then I thought to myself, you know what? I got to live up to this now. It's not just about putting Christ in Christmas, but it's also about living that life as a Christian 24/7. As we lead into the Christmas season, it's about remembering the reason for the season, definitely, but it's also living it out in my life 24/7 as it would be in yours. Would you agree with me that today Christmas is kind of a convoluted celebration of religiosity? Convoluted, what I mean by is it's diluted. It looks like a religious holiday. It looks sort of Christian, but we're not exactly sure what that means. Ah, but isn't that our lives? That's exactly what our lives are, too. Diluted and convoluted and not quite clear as to what's inside. So we've got to ask ourselves, am I keeping Christ in Christmas? Is my heart living out the life of Jesus 24/7? Or am I walking a kind of twisted path? You know, John the Baptist makes the path straight. Am I caught up in the ups and downs, the hills and valleys of life? Am I really living the life Christ wanted me to live? So along comes this character. Now, does he look diluted or convoluted? Not at all. You can tell exactly where he stands by the way he dresses and the words he proclaims. John the Baptist cannot be messed up. He's one of the prophets of all the prophets, the last of the prophets before the Christ is revealed, and you just can't get him wrong. Repent, repent, confess your sins, prepare the way. He's just about here. In fact, he kind of stole the words from somebody else's sermon, didn't he? From Isaiah the prophet years ago, who proclaimed to the people, prepare the way of the Lord, get ready. The Lord is to come. And so he made it very clear who he was, what he was doing, and even more clear than Isaiah, because guess what? It wasn't but just around the corner in a few weeks, he would baptize the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so here we are with our lives. What they seem to be, are they as clear as John the Baptist? Can anybody tell by the way you represent yourself that you're clearly a child of God? Is your message so clear and your life so Christ-centered that people look and say, you know what? That message was pretty clear. As we enter into Christmas and Christ's coming, we're asking ourselves that question as well. And you know what? I'm not so sure about myself. I'm just not so sure. I can remember at an LWML rally one time. I was the junior counselor and then the senior counselor in the North Wisconsin district. We had this great big convention down in Florida. And I'm standing up by the stage. They're ready to call me up. And I'm dressed in a pair of shorts, flip-flops, and a T-shirt on it that I'm wearing. And it says in real small letters here, "We're celebrating Christ today." And they announced my name to come up. And our junior counselor is Pastor Russell Camphor from North Wisconsin District. Does anybody know where he is? I'm standing right here. I go like this. I'm standing right, and she doesn't see me or hear me. Does anybody know where he is? Is he here? No, I'm right here. Well, you can't be him. You don't look like a pastor. That's what she said. I said, well, I'm the guy. And I walked up, and I did my devotion. I think she was expecting somebody dressed in nice slacks with a collar shirt on, wearing black shoes, kind of like I am today a little bit. Sometimes I'm not so clear on who I am, not just because of the way I look, but the way I act. Have you ever been caught up in that? Here it says, a clear sign of what a Christian is, repent. Be willing to change your life. First, by changing your mind and your heart. So as we get ready for Christmas, if you want to make the most out of it, do a mind check and a heart check. Are you preoccupied with stuff these days before Christmas? What's on your mind? What's the focus? Where are you at head-wise? Is your head in the right place? That's a good question to ask. Are you struggling with maybe money issues, people issues, family dysfunction? What is it that's distracting you from keeping a focus on Christ coming for the well-being of your own salvation? Because only then can we be effective in the lives of others. During these weeks, as we look forward to Christmas coming, I have a regular routine of doing an Advent devotional. And today's Advent devotion, guess what, was on John the Baptist. And the Advent devotion said, are you in the action of metanoia? I don't know, what's metanoia? Well, it's the old word for repent, change your mind. What are you focused on? What is it that's dragging you down? Could be an addiction, some sort of selfishness, apathy, who cares? That kind of thing. Could be looking at church and thinking it's just going to be the same old thing over and over. Same story, right? Same celebration, lighting the same candles, forgetting the reason why we do it. John said to the people, repent and prepare the way of the Lord. If you're not ready on the inside, you can't be ready on the outside. And so we have to ask ourselves, what is it that hinders each and every one of us from being ready to know the reason for the season? you know, it talks about, you know, take the valleys, raise them up. Whatever it is that you're afraid of in these days before Christmas, the gullies and ravines where we hide ourselves away before God and others, bring them out honestly, deal with them yourself, with the Lord. Figuratively, those great big mountains, usually just molehills that we turn into mountains, right? Troubles and issues of our life, to put them in perspective, what God can do with each and everything before us. The twisted and turning of our own lives as we try to journey through life itself. You know, you cross, you cover a lot more distance unless you take a straight line between two points. But how often do we live our lives that way? And we're so tired out by the time we get to the thing we're worried about that if we would have just gone ahead and gone straight there, we could have dealt with it. Well, here's one. You remember a TT this last summer? You know, Merrill Avenue or whatever we call it down there. Have you been on that recently? They've reconstructed the whole road. And it's been a real mess. But it still is. They've still got all kinds of cones and different things out there. It's a real inconvenience. I go that way because it's quicker. You know, I go out here, I go down that way, and I get on double T. I cut some time, and I cut some mileage. But you know what? Roads have to be fixed from time to time, don't they? You got to fix the potholes. You got to straighten out the road. Sometimes you got to replace the blacktop with concrete, all that business, right? Why? It's in the best interest of those who travel it. What about the human heart? I think it needs reconstruction too, doesn't it? It's a necessity. In its sinful state, it's not really much use to anyone. Friends in Christ, consider that today as we consider Christmas. As we enter into Christmas, we're not really preparing ourselves if we're not being honest with ourselves. Where's the peace and joy of Christmas? Is it in the things we get or in the things we give? Where's the peace in Christmas? The peace and joy of Christmas in all of the celebrations or in the time we have of worship with our Lord. Prayer and meditation, knowing first that He loves us so that we can love others. I think too many people enter into this season and they're kind of like Charlie Brown. You've seen the Charlie Brown special cartoon on Christmas. I don't know how many times I've seen it. One of my favorite lines is this. Charlie Brown says this, Christmas is just trouble. I think a lot of us look at it that way. Why does he say that? Because he's not prepared. And he doesn't know how to prepare. He doesn't know what to do. Everybody gives him ideas, but he doesn't grab hold of it until the people around him tell him about the true message of Christmas, and he gets an opportunity to worship around what we all know is that little Charlie Brown Christmas tree. Maybe God is trying to open our hearts and our minds these days so that we would be prepared, so that all salvation or all mankind would see God's salvation. A little reconstruction in our own lives for the good of us all. Sometimes you got to tear down in order to reconstruct. By the way, that's exactly the way God looks at it and what he did with his own son. Think about it for just a moment. We all know that as Christians, we don't have to suffer our own sins because Christ suffered them for us. We don't have to pay the payment of the evil and the horrible eternal consequences of our sin because Jesus took care of it on the cross. What happened? That which was made human had to be tore down and killed on the cross in order that you could be raised up, a new person before God. In that way, we follow after him, not only in these days before Christmas, but every day of our lives. Every time we reflect on our sinful nature and the things that are bugging us most in life and our involvement with it, God tears us down. We put it on the cross, and he makes us alive in him. That's really what Christmas is all about. Doesn't sound really, you know, full of a lot of glory, but that is God's glory, that he enters into your realm. Christ incarnate enters into your life as sinful and as full of issues as it is. He comes right in there. Sin and all, he comes right in there. He drives it out by way of that wonderful death of Christ on the cross, and he prepares you to be his own child with all the inheritance of him who gave his life for you and was raised from the dead. And so we get that gospel in our life at Christmas. That's how you really, truly celebrate it. Really? It's not about Christmas trees? Oh yeah, Christmas trees are fine. Oh really? It's not about Christmas parties? Christmas parties are fine. Fun to get together with relatives and friends. Oh really? It's not about decorating the house with lights? That's fine. If you can pay for the bill, it's okay. But all of that is superseded by the wonderful gift of God in our life. And how he comes to us in great love to save the sinner and grant salvation. And so John the Baptist comes and says, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, repent." Kind of an odd Christmas, but it really is the best one. Amen.